This is an episode of the ACS Memory Palace. My name is Diana Yergiu, and I'd like to wish many thanks to Nate DeMayo for his inspiration. As with most spoken stories and legends, through the wavering of narratives from one person to another, facts and details get distorted to become more remarkable in the ever-passing time. Accomplishments seem more accomplished, tragedies turn more tragic, and the greats become greater. However, in this story, this is not the case. The famed myths, the fictitious records, are actually a little underwhelming compared to the real deal. There are those who are swept under history's rug, masked by a false persona with an even falser biography that is eaten up and lionized by the public, forever marking their name as lore. Just another scary story you tell under a campfire's light. Just another Hollywood remake that appears every couple years. Or better yet, just another get-up kids, and those of all ages really, put on Hallow's Eve. A mockery indeed, the extravagant accent and all. So, any guesses as to who this character is? Okay, it's Vlad the Third Dracula. Okay, fine. Or should I call him Count Dracula? Which is a fabricated name given to him in the 1897 novel by Bram Stoker, the version that is ingrained into our pop culture. Contrary to common belief, he is not actually a vampire looking to buy real estate in 19th century London. In fact, he is a Valachian voivode of the mid to late 1400s, and like most rulers of this region, he is known by his regnal name, Vlad Tepes, aka Vlad the Impaler. Right now, you might be thinking, hold up, this guy's from Vala what? Isn't Transylvania the motherland of vampires? I think I would know. I watched all three Hotel Transylvania movies. If this is you, I don't blame you. I would assume 99% of people, literally anyone who's not Romanian or Moldovan, to assume this. After all, it's the location portrayed in virtually all media. However, in reality, back then, Transylvania and Valachia were two completely different nations. Yes, they make part of modern-day Romania, but then they were in an on-again, off-again war, so big difference. But see, there's a fun fact you can tell at parties, your so-called Dracula is not even from Transylvania. Huh. I honestly don't know where Stoker did his research because Vlad never even stepped foot into the famed Dracula castle. But now that that little misconception is out of the way, let's dive back into the ruler's life. As can be guessed by his regal title, Vlad impaled people. A lot of people. Approximately 20,000 people. With 80,000 more being killed in other various, most likely excruciating ways. And like all serial killers, his ruthless, sadistic, torturous nature can probably be linked back to a traumatic childhood. He was born to Vlad II Dracul in the Order of the Dragon, which, as far as last names go, is pretty badass. He was the second of four brothers, and from a young age, this is where the details get blurry, Vlad and his younger brother Radu were sort of held hostage at the Sultan's court. Now Romania, in all its previous forms, always had a tricky relationship with the Ottoman Empire. It was seen as a passageway to Europe, ergo numerous invasions occurred. It's unclear to scholars how Vlad and his brother got to the palace in the first place. Some say they joined their father on a diplomatic trip and weren't allowed to return. Others claimed it might have been a custom imposed by the Turkish along with the annual payment keeping the empire from seizing borders. Either way, it was to keep Valachia in check. Historians are also unsure as to how Vlad spent his time in the palace. Through some accounts, he was educated in science, philosophy, and the art of war. In others, he was taught the Ottoman way of life, horseback riding, and how to fight. while in some, he was said to be tortured, beaten, and sexually molested by the Sultan from as little as 11 years old. Alas, we'll never know what really went down in that palace. Vlad could have lived a luxurious life there, or perhaps it was simply agonizing. Or maybe it was more of a mix of both. This we'll never know. What we do know is that in his reign, after his father was murdered and his older brother was eye gouged and buried alive, after he cut off the payments to the empire, he impaled every single Ottoman prisoner or accused sexual offender in his kingdom. Now, I'm no psychologist, but this behavior seems to be developed by the hands of trauma. During the war of 1462, outside of the Valachian capital of Târgoviște, Vlad left the Sultan a little gift. The Forest of the Impaled. Rows upon rows of Turkish soldiers skewed on 4 meter tall wooden poles, some twitching, some crying, some luckily already dead. Ironically, despite that gruesome act and the many, many more, Vlad considered himself a man of morals. He actually led a very civil and corruptionless reign, as he hated criminals of any sort. And his people learned it was best to stay on his good side. There is a folk tale which says that he once placed a golden cup on a fountain in the center of the town. And since everyone was so scared of him, it was never stolen, never, because they didn't know what to expect, except a slow and painful death. And whilst impalement was his favorite form of torture, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Caution advised, here is the torture speed round. Strangling, skinning, blinding, burning alive, decapitation, hanging, boiling, burning, not to be confused with roasting, which he also did, mutilation, forced cannibalism, nailing, and your everyday stabbing. The worst part, while these people were in the process of dying, Vlad would just sit there and have lunch and dip his bread in their blood. This being the only similarity he had with the Count, and perhaps it's what inspired Stoker's blood-sucking story. Nonetheless, if the two, real and fictional, personas were to battle it out, all bets would go towards Mr. Impaler.